We want to have communion, gather around the table of the Lord tonight. We want to pray for the rest of the staff, and we will in just a few minutes. But I would just like to ask you to help me, maybe if you would, in thinking about communion. I've never quite had it like this before, on my left and on my right. It's usually somewhere in the middle. You know, communion is one of the two ordinances that the Lord Jesus left for the church. We have water baptism, and we have communion. And those are really the only two things. Infant dedication is really not an ordinance, something we do. We pray for them. There's precedent in the Bible, but it's not an ordinance. That is, nobody ever in the Bible said, you have to do this. Do this until I come. Do this in remembrance of me. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptize them. There's no ordinance concerning that. Just those two. And this one tonight that we think of, communion. Different people do communion differently. I have association with half dozen or so churches out in California, and they serve communion differently than I serve communion. Maybe your church does it differently than any of our churches do. There they have communion every single week. Anybody go to a church, you have communion every week. Every Sunday morning. And there are a lot of all these churches that I know out there, whether it's Southern California, Northern California, they every single week, 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock, it's breaking bread, they call it, and they come together and they have communion every single Sunday morning. They drink out of one cup. How would you like that? One cup. If I were in California tonight, there'd be one cup here, and if you're the first guy, you're in luck. I always want first row, first seat. Well, I'm there, but it doesn't happen. Now they've accommodated the amount of people that complain about the germs. They used to do a nice thing. They used to take out their handkerchiefs and they used to smear it around every once in a while before they gave it to you. Okay, now it's your turn, because they believe that by the Bible says we're all drinking from one cup. All right, I'm drinking from a whole lot of different cups, but. Now they give out spoons, plastic spoons. Everybody gets a plastic spoon. Not everybody. The first five rows on one side still get cups because some people aren't going to get away from the one cup. But you take your spoon and you get to dip it in there and you get to take it out of that cup with your spoon. That's the way they do things. One piece of bread because only one bread. We all eat one bread, so you don't get four pieces of matzah in there. You get one piece of matzah. I don't know where they get this stuff from, but you hit it with your fingers and it breaks into 3 million pieces. It's amazing. It's kind of like a thing you'd want to do in the cottage to amaze the kids. Or you push it down, it just pops. I was just out there not long ago, and the man, they had one piece. This was far away from their church. This was in a university they were having the conference, and he was giving out the communion. The first guy he gave it to knocked his arm, and the bread all went down on the ground. I saw him get down there on his hands and scooping it up and throwing it back in the tray. And this is my body broken for you. Well, you know, people do different things with communion and serve it different ways. That's really, to me, that's not important. I heard of a man who actually served communion when he was in a prison camp, and he used tomato juice and peas. That's all he had. So the peas were the bread. Tomato juice, that's okay. I personally don't think the Lord's bothered by that. And we can go on and on about the different ways people have communion or celebrate communion. But what does it mean? Why do we do it? I mean, what is the importance of it? Now, some of you know Exodus chapter 12. You know there the story of the Passover. Some of you know what Jesus said in Matthew 26 when he instituted at the Passover celebration this new supper or new way. Some of you know Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 11, what he tells the church and how they should celebrate communion. And if you think of those passages, and I don't want to take the time to read any of them, but if you think of those passages, John chapter 6 is another one where Jesus talks about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. If you think about them, why do we do this? I don't care about what you use and how many cups you have, but why is it that we are supposed to do this? What does it bring us face to face with? What is it that we confront when the Lord said, I want you to do this, I want you to observe this by symbolism until I come back again. And it's a very important thing, because if you eat or drink unworthily, you're eating and drinking damnation. So it's not snack time. It's not just a ritual. It's not just something you do. Why is it that we? There are a few reasons why. What would you say? Your counselors, your staff members, you know. Some of you are even 19, so you especially know. Why do you do this? Remembrance. Say it again.
In remembrance of
him. Okay, in remembrance. We're taking the bread, we're taking the cup, and it's his body, and it's his blood. And what is it that we're remembering, Frank?
Calvary.
We're remembering Calvary. We're remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, don't you remember that more than just when you have communion? Oh, sure you do. Of course you do. But I'm glad that we can set aside some time, periodically, however often it may be, to have it right in our face. No, have it right in our hands. This is my body broken for you. You know how broken Jesus' body was when it was broken for you? You know what it says at the end of Isaiah 52? You quiet now. This guy will just keep on going all week. I got to shut him up quick. What does it say in Isaiah 52? If nobody else plays, you can play, but hold on. His visage was so marred, it says. Think of this. His visage was so marred that you were hardly able to recognize that he was human. That's how rent and how torn and how broken his body was. Throw on top of that he took upon himself the sin of the whole world. And that's why you hold that in your hand. You remember, you commemorate Calvary and the cross and the crucifixion, the scourge, the brokenness. Why else? We're remembering, we're commemorating. What else is communion good for? What do you think of? Why do we do this? What does the Bible say? Forget about what you think. What does the Bible say? Well, think of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Before you eat and drink, what are you supposed to do? Say it, who? You're still playing. Examine yourself. Thank you, Sister Elsie. Do you know that verse, 1 Corinthians 11? Well, let a man examine himself. Okay, so I'm about ready. Okay, everything's okay. No, examine, that means look at your life. You know, Jesus paid a horrible price so that you might be free from the burden of sin, that you might be sanctified, that you might belong to him and be delivered. Jesus paid a price for you. You're his. Now examine yourself to see whether you're in the faith. Examine yourself. How's my heart? We need to do that tonight. Lord, how is it with me and you? How are we doing? Is there anything in between? I have to serve you this week. I got 68 souls. I got 17 little kids. I got a bunch of adults I got to take care of up there. I'm in the office working. I'm doing whatever I'm doing for you, Lord. Now, Lord, I need your help. But if sin is in the way, then it precludes what God wants to do. And it's an awesome responsibility. I like what Brother Peter said. 68 souls. 68 souls. And you are responsible for 8 of them, or 16 of them. I mean, in a very direct way. And maybe we're all responsible. I'm responsible for all those kids too, in a certain aspect. But you're right there with hands on, right sleeping, 4 on this side and 4 on that side. And there they are, upstairs from wherever you may be in the cottage. And they're your responsibility. They're in your charge, these souls. Now, how could I possibly have something in my heart as something that precludes God from blessing me and using me? Lord, I've got to, first of all, myself be free from the burden of sin. And that's where we're told we can be sprinkled afresh. I like to think of Jesus when we gather together in a meeting. And I think almost every meeting before I ever get up or minister or anything like that, I say, Lord, cleanse me, wash me. Hidden faults, presumptuous sins, some things wayward in me that I don't know about, that I have done. Lord, you have to be clean, you that bear the vessels of the Lord. And you all do. And those that do must be clean. It's of necessity because there is an eternal stake here. It's not just money we're dealing with. It's not just a good time. I hope all the boys have a good time. I hope they do too. But camp would fail. Go to the Boy Scout camp if you want to have a good time. Go to Point of Pines. They got a lot more stuff than we do at the Pilgrim Camp. But they don't have Jesus. And Jesus is what's important. And you're the conduit. And so, Lord, I want to examine myself to see how it's going with me. And if there be any wicked way in me, cleanse me. And I'm glad that every once in a while, if you don't think of it every day, at least every once in a while when you have communion, let a man examine himself to see whether he be in the faith. Don't eat or drink unworthily. You eat and drink damnation to yourself. And for that reason, there are those that are sick among you, and some have died before the time. Is it that serious a matter? Oh, yeah. Lord, is everything okay? But, sometimes everything's this way good, but this way not so good. Everything's good between me and you. We're tight, Lord. We got it going. Yeah, real good. But how about I just can't stand her? I just don't like them. It's like it was a camp here. It's a lot of years ago. Probably before you were born, if you're only 19. But I was a counselor there down in the meeting in the village, and we had all the boys, or not all the boys, but the boys were praying at the front. You got that altar right in front of it's an altar. It's the fireplace there. You know what I'm talking about up there. And the boys were there to pray, and they were praying. And I looked up. There's a hopeful. You got the hopefuls, Nikki? Yeah, well, one of the hopefuls, he was praying there at the front. That's always good to see these little kids praying. He had one hand raised to heaven. That's good. This guy's got it. He's praying, thank you, Lord. And with the other hand, he was punching the kid next to him in the back. I said, something's not right. Something's not right about this thing here. I'm a counselor now. Not my boy, but I got to stop this. The poor kid's getting pummeled over there. Thank you, Lord. Like praise God and pass the ammunition or whatever. Well, I thought of him a lot since then, because I think sometimes we can do that, can't we? My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. Can't stand him or them at all. But it doesn't work that way. How can you say you love God if you can't love your brother? You can't. John says, you're a liar. You're lying. If you say you love God, you have to love your brother. You can't love God who you can't see and then say, you can't do it that way. Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Maybe before tomorrow's bus rolls in, just maybe we need to make a phone call. Maybe we need to straighten it out, and I'm serious. Maybe we can't just play around with this, because eternal souls, 68 of them, 17 of them, whatever they may be, There's something that rides on this. And it's not just about me and what I feel and what I like. And leave your gift at the altar. I don't care which altar it is, the village one, the Watch Rock one, the one at your church at home. Leave your gift at the altar, make it right with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Otherwise, God doesn't care about your gift. He cares about your heart and your relationships with others. And so we examine ourselves. That's what communion is. We commemorate, we remember what he did and the price that he paid. And we examine ourselves to see whether or not we be in the faith. And search me, O God, and know my heart. And if there be any wicked way, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, get it under the blood, straighten it out. Lord, help me to be free. Anybody else have anything else? I'm thinking of one more. This is a great one to me, too. I like the first two, but I like this one, too.
It's time to come together.
That's good, and that's part of it's time to come together. And it is a time to come together. We're one family. We belong to one another. There's the unity and the oneness. That's where God commands his blessing. And we eat one flesh, and we drink one blood. And thank you, yes. Anybody else? What do you do with this stuff? You got this bread in your hand. What are you going to do with it in just a few minutes? You're going to eat it. I love that. What are you going to do with this cup? And I love the way Jesus put it. Eat ye all of it. Drink ye all of it. And unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. in yourself. That's in John chapter 6, and that's in the present continuous tense. That's not just, I ate his flesh 27 years ago. You'd be dead if the last time you ate was 27 years ago. And you didn't just drink something 27 years ago either, or a year ago, or a month ago, or a week ago, or a day ago. I think you probably ate today, and you'll probably eat tomorrow. And so it is when we think about Christ. And there in John 6, and you know the story, they came to eat the bread that Jesus made, the wonder bread that he created and fed the 5,000. But Jesus said, I got bread you don't know anything about. And if you eat the bread that I give you and keep eating the bread that I give you, that's life. And we take that emblem and we eat that emblem. You know what the Lord said to them in Exodus 12? Besides, take the blood and put it on the doorposts of your home. What did he tell them to do with the lamb? The rest of it, eat it all. The entrails, get rid of them. Burn this, get rid of that. The stuff that's edible, eat it. Eat it because you know why? Because you're going to go out tonight. You're going to go out in haste. You're going to be free from your bondage here in Egypt. And when it's time to go, you got to vamoose. You got to go. And don't hang around anymore. And you got to have strength for the journey. You got to have strength to go out. And so eat the lamb. Eat the lamb tonight, right now. Don't tell me I'm not. Eat the lamb. Because tonight you're going out. And I want you to have the strength that you need to go. You've got 2 weeks ahead of you. When I was an Onantha counselor, I lost 16 pounds 1 year. And I was thinner than I am now, if you think I'm thin. I was thin then, and I lost 16. I was a month. It was a month that I was a counselor. The boys in Onantha, good luck, they eat too much. They can't keep the waitresses. You're going to be running. Running back and forth. More. And if you give just a little tip, if you give, I don't know what the counsel is, I don't want to go against what Brother Peter tells you or the handbook says, but if you feed them first, you'll never eat for the next 2 weeks. Grab it while it's going by you. Don't do what they tell, do what you got to do. Feed them, but make sure you get yours. But it's the same way with Jesus. We need to feed. You're going to get tired. Physically, you're going to get tired. You know, do you believe that Jesus is able to give you physical strength when you run dry? You think he can do that? And you think, well, even the youth shall faint. Well, that's different, I know. But you're going to get tired, some of you. Some of you, by the end of next week, you wish these kids were out of here. You wish the bus, could we send them? Lord, give me strength. You are my strength. Brother Edwin was visiting Brother Wanamaker for his 90th birthday, and they're sitting around the table, and Brother Edwin said, Brother Wanamaker, he's never was a strong man physically. If you don't know who he was, you could talk to Brother Paul, he'll tell you sometime. But he wasn't a strong man physically, ever. And Brother Edwin said, Brother Wanamaker, I see that you've learned to live physically, not only spiritually, physically, by the life of Jesus. And Brother Edwin says, Brother Wanamaker pointed his finger, which was by that time, trying to go straight, but it wasn't. You got fingers like that. When you get old, you'll understand about that. He pointed back to Brother Edwin and he said, God help us if we don't. God help us if we don't learn to live by him day by day. That life of Christ in you quickens your mortal body. And it quickens you spiritually. You're going to run dry too, perhaps, day by day. I got friends, the parable, and it doesn't help when I close it sometimes. The parable in Luke, is it Luke 11? The man got up at midnight, friends were coming. I got friends, I got to feed my friends. I got friends coming. I got a busload of friends coming tomorrow. They're going to be driving in and out of here in cars and jumping out. You've got friends coming. We've got friends coming tomorrow. And we've got to feed them. We've got to feed them. We got to get some bread from someplace. And I think a good night, a good time to start, if we haven't already, and we probably have, is say, Lord, give me bread for myself and for my friends that are coming. And Lord, I need your life. I want your blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, sprinkle this meeting tonight afresh with your precious blood. Lord, if there be any wicked way, if there be any inbred sin, we would be free by the power of the blood of Jesus. May we be first partakers before we teach others. Lord, may we be taught. We pray, Lord, that if there be something between our souls and our Savior, that even now, before we partake, Lord, we want to eat life. We want to nourish ourselves for the journey. We pray that you would remove any hindrance that may be in our hearts. Lord, if there's something between brothers, sister, something between us and our brothers in Christ, we pray, Lord, that you will remove those barriers and those hindrances. We pray, Lord, that among us at camp and among the counseling staff, among the waitresses and groundsmen, kitchen crew, Lord, I pray that there would be a harmony, a oneness throughout this whole period, that we would love one another as you have loved us. And to that end, Lord, just remove. We're different. We're all different. We rub each other the wrong way. We get under one another's skin. That's okay, Lord. We pray that we might learn to overcome. We pray that we might learn to cover a multitude of sins. And we pray, Jesus, as we look at the blood and we look at the cross and we look at the body broken for us, while we were sinners, you died for us. And we pray for that kind of love for each other. We pray, Jesus, that you'll strengthen every one of us and quicken every one of us. And may we indeed tonight, as we partake these emblems, remember you. Remember the price that you paid. And may, Lord, we receive you and go in your strength. May we be washed and forgiven and cleansed from all of our sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.